In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TopString Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen use the station's listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, RedStateTalkRadio.com. Download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following: for Studio A, 605-562-4209. And for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we get started, let's give a shout out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates: WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia; WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia; WJNW, AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee; Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona; WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina; Coffin County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas; Taxpro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia; WCNR Digital, West Virginia; and K98Talk.com. Now, let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right. Congratulations to your Tennessee Vols for their comeback win. That was impressive.
Yes, it was. They were down 24-3, and they wound up winning, I think, 38-31, I believe. And, it was an exciting game.
Yeah, I'm not a dog fan, like we all. Like
you're a Tech fan, I know.
Yeah, I'm more a Tech fan, so that didn't really, hurt me. So I know you'd like for me to go, well, I can't believe it, but I'm not going there.
No, I get it. It's like Vanderbilt's in Tennessee too, but I don't give a crap if they win or lose.
Yeah, but the dogs, the dogs are like.
There's more people in Georgia.
It's 9 out of 10 are dog fans.
So. Yeah. Georgia Tech fans are few and far between compared to Georgia Bulldog fans. I would think for the most part. I'm not really sure why that's so, but it just is. Whatever. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. The Republican Party seems to be in disarray at this moment. John Boehner resigns. The word is that probably Kevin McCarthy would be taking up the reins as Speaker of the House, and he suddenly surprises everyone. I don't think anyone saw this coming. Surprises everyone and withdraws his name from consideration. And now everybody's going, well, hell, what are we going to do now? Kind of thing. Are they in disarray? Or are they just totally lost, Ken, or what's going on?
I don't. I listen to, you know, a lot of the news things going on, and I just think that it's really a good thing what's happening. Because of what we see in the presidential race with the new blood, you know, coming to the top, I think this is a good thing. I think Mitch McConnell needs to be very aware of what's happening because this may affect him at some point. I think it's I like it. What about you?
Well, I like it. It's just I just don't want this to continue for too long. I think at some point they've got to sit down and figure out what the hell they're going to do. They can't.
Do you? I mean, they think that they're ace in the hole here. If he decides to do it, is Paul Ryan? Do you think the same thing?
Well, that might be true. Except I'm not real keen on Paul Ryan anymore. I used to like him pretty well, but he's had some issues. He's had some stances on some issues, especially when it comes to immigration. I don't care for it at all.
It's not just immigration. There's some other things. But yeah. I'm with you. He seems more of a old guard kind of person.
Well, yeah, and plus he doesn't seem interested.
Yeah,
that's a problem, I guess. You know, if you're looking for him for leadership, and I don't doubt he could do a good job, but I think just from my own personal opinion and from history, Speaker of the House, even though they're third in succession for the presidency, if something happens to the president or vice president, Speaker of the House is the next person that would show up, would become president. But when's the last time you heard of a Speaker of the House that became president?
Never.
I think that's right, never. I don't think there's ever been a Speaker of the House that's become president. I don't think it's a position to where you could become president unless the president and vice president are both assassinated at the same time.
That's correct, because if let's say the president did pass away or something in office, then the vice president would take over, and then there would be a new vice president.
Yeah, but literally they would both have to go at the same time, or it had to be so soon after the vice president was named that he hadn't had a chance to name his successor, and so then you'd have the Speaker of the House and blah, 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 blah. But my point is, the Republicans, I just think that the people in Washington just have, maybe they're starting to get it now. I mean, I don't know. But up until now, I don't think they understood what the problem was. I think they thought everything was just dandy.
Yeah, I think it's the bubble. Don't you think so? I mean,
yeah.
They get up there and they get so used to what Washington does. And I don't know if you've heard this story before, but the economy in Washington, D.C. is going gangbusters.
Well, yeah.
And it's not like the other parts of the country. So they get in a fog, you know, because they don't.
Well, the money's flowing in Washington, D.C. When you're $18 trillion in debt and heading toward $19 trillion, the money is flowing like crazy in Washington, D.C. I mean, if you're somehow related or have something to do with government or you have government contracts, you're smiling.
Yeah, and government people rarely ever lose their job.
No, it's almost
the economy's booming there.
Yeah, there.
It's the worst traffic. I've been there when it's the traffic's awful there.
I've only been there a few times, but here's the thing is I don't think until maybe they're starting to get now, but they don't recognize what a sea change this is in the political realm of this country, especially on the conservative side of the aisle. People are sick and tired of being sick and tired of nothing getting done in Washington and being promised the moon and getting nothing and not even getting cheese. I mean,
well, it's such a look at Trump and Carson, even Fiorina, how far she's come up in the polls. People don't like the choices they've had. They don't want the old guard of the Republican because they do nothing. And the Democrats have socialists and liars at the head of their presidential run. You can't blame people.
Well, I mean, think about it. you just kind of touched on it, but just to kind of reemphasize the point, when you have this much disgust with Washington, that's what allows a Trump, a Carson, and a Fiorina to come up on one side, and that's what allows someone like a Bernie Sanders on the other side to come up, and all of a sudden he's the hot ticket. And by the way, they're going to have their debate this, I think, Tuesday night, if I'm not mistaken, on CNN. And you're supposed to have, believe it or not, now, I'll give you a little test here, Ken. There'll be five Democrats at the debate. Can you name who the five are?
Martin O'Malley is one of them.
Right.
I don't know. Those two, I have no clue.
Exactly. That's my point. I don't think I do either. I had to sit down and really think about it. But basically, you've got, of course, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And we've talked about Martin O'Malley. He's like on the outside looking in. But maybe if something happens to Hillary, who knows? Then you got Jim Webb. And the other one is, give me a minute, Lincoln Chafee.
Okay.
And the thing is, for most people, they don't know who at least three or four of those people even are, really. Hillary Clinton and maybe Bernie Sanders is the only one they've even heard of, for most people. And what are they going to talk about in their debate? I mean, I just can't. Matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a live show after the debate on Tuesday night. I'm going to be on Cowboy Logic Radio here on Red State Talk Radio as a guest to discuss the debate experience. And I'm sure it's going to. I don't even know if I can sit through a Democrat debate without shooting the screen. I don't know if I can do that. I'm going to try. I may have to sit there and, like, tie my hands down or something or whatever.
Help me out here. Do you think that these lesser-known Democrats will bring up Hillary's emails?
Good question. I don't know. I think the only chance they're going to have to shine in the debate is to challenge Hillary directly and challenge her about her email situation, challenge her about the Clinton Foundation. Those are the two things that they're the two elephants in the room. And if they don't do that, they're not going to get anywhere. They're not going to get no traction. And B, they don't deserve to get any traction if they don't have enough guts to at least do that.
But it seems like, you know, you never hear Bernie Sanders say stuff about Hillary. But you know what? He's rising in polls without it because he's the only alternative right now, and people know him. But if they don't know you, like you're Martin O'Malley or those two guys you mentioned, is this unwritten Democratic rule that you don't attack your other Democratic people?
But basically, the Democrats do not eat their own young. They don't.
but it makes no sense. It absolutely makes no sense at all, because you're not going to win. You're not going to get up at all without taking the other guy off the ladder.
Well, see, it makes sense, though, if you're concerned about party unity. But if you're concerned about actually winning the nomination, yeah, you're right. It makes no sense. I mean, you have to somehow distinguish yourself and separate yourself from everyone else. And if they're not willing to do that, like I said, they're not going to get anywhere, and B, they don't deserve to get anywhere. So.
Well, I don't understand it. It makes no as a conservative. I mean, I want my man to be, if I'm pulling for somebody, and especially if the person ahead of me has got
baggage
is a criminal. he should be in jail. I'm going to go after him.
Well, I love the joke I heard a while back, is that if Hillary Clinton becomes president, every time she travels in Air Force One, there'll need to be a C-130 behind her carrying all her baggage. Anyway, it should be an interesting debate, and the Republicans need to get their crap together. I don't know what to tell them. I don't know who's going to be. I heard a good suggestion the other day. Here's the thing. The Speaker of the House does not have to be a member of Congress.
Correct.
And I heard several suggestions. Somebody said Lieutenant Colonel Allen West would be a good choice.
Newt Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich would be maybe another choice. Now Newt Gingrich did a pretty good job Speaker of the House back in his day. But he dealt with a president who had a pragmatic side, Bill Clinton. We're dealing with a guy who has no damn clue and has just, he doesn't give a damn about what the American people want. He doesn't care about the politics. And plus, he doesn't have to run for re-election anymore, so he doesn't have to do squat. He didn't want to do, and he ain't going to do. I mean, just, you're not dealing with a rational human being, really. I mean, seriously.
But when you don't even put legislation in front of him to make him veto it, then you haven't done your job.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. This whole thing of just letting him do whatever the hell he wants and no one challenging him, I just do not understand that strategy. It's like, well, if we do that, he may shut the government down. I say, let him shut the government down and make sure his fingerprints are all over it.
Yeah. Who cares what the media says about it? And, the last government shutdown we had, I don't remember it affecting anybody.
Well, the last one was in 2013. And what did we have in 2014? The biggest Republican victory in years.
Yep.
Newt Gingrich made a comment the other day. He was on Hannity, and he said, and he brought the point I just made about 2013, 2014. He said, hey, let him shut the government down about three more times and said, we'll control everything.
Yeah.
So based on the results from 2013 and 2014, okay, let's move on a little bit. We got by the way, after the break, we talk about Hillary and nothing but Hillary because we've got so much stuff to talk about Hillary. But let me tell you something. This Obama situation where we had this shooting, out in Oregon. Now, a lot of people think that Oregon's a lot like Washington, like Seattle, Washington, which is very liberal and stuff. Oregon, though, has a lot of people who love their Second Amendment rights, love their guns, etc. Okay, and you wouldn't, if you didn't know, you wouldn't really think that, because we tend to think of the South and Texas and that kind of stuff. But Oregon has a big population that likes their Second Amendment, likes to have their gun rights. Well, because of this shooting in this gun-free zone. And of course, we know that Obama turned everything political by immediately going to gun control. And he's talking about executive orders that he could give for gun control, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And he goes out there to, because of the shooting, to empathize, with the victim families and all this kind of stuff. And the people out in Oregon, there were protesters out there, Obama, go home. And they did not want him there. The editor of a newspaper in that town said, the people in our city, we don't want to hear from this guy. I don't think I've seen a protest like that. And almost an entire community come out saying they didn't want the president in their town, because usually getting the president in your town, even this president, is like a big deal, and they weren't interested. And what I find,
good for them.
Yeah, that's good for them. And what happened was Obama, knowing this, and this was all over the news, he didn't give a speech. He kind of met with the families privately and this, that, and that may be fine. I mean, I don't know. But he used that, and then once he got outside of Oregon, he started making more comments about executive orders on gun control and all this kind of stuff. And let me tell you a little secret about this whole thing about the executive orders on gun control that people haven't thought about. His executive orders on immigration and so forth, it's been difficult for some of that stuff to stop because you had to prove that there's an injured party. And see, with the stuff on immigration, Ken, the injured party, there really isn't one, because you're not enforcing the law against people who should have the law enforced upon them. However, if he tries to monkey around with the Second Amendment, which is a right, not a privilege, it's a right, not a privilege. If he tries to do that, he's going to be slapped with lawsuits like you would not believe, because it's going to be really easy to show that you're an injured party, simply because, Ken, if you try to get a gun or try to register a gun or purchase a gun and you're not allowed to because of the executive order that he has, boom, you're going to have standing in the courts. And if you have standing in the courts, your case will have to be heard. Now, they have to go through the federal process and everything, but eventually it will go to the always Supreme Court if he is stupid enough to go down this road. Now, I know he thinks he's slick, and he's got slick lawyers working for him and stuff, and I guess they're going to figure out some way they think they can get away with this, but I don't think anybody's going to stand for this.
I look at the bigger picture, Primo. I look at the bigger picture of 7 years of this guy, and what you're seeing in Oregon, the people coming out saying Obama go home, is it resonating across the country that they're tired of a president being king or thinks he's king and do whatever the hell he wants to do. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, you're looking at it with through the of gun control and that kind of thing. And I'm looking at it like, nope, I'm looking at the country going, stop it. And we're looking at people who can stop it and not the normal people, and hence the Trump and the Carson and the Fiorinas.
Well, you could be right. You could be right. But here's one thing to think about. Let's just say you don't like the Second Amendment and you're against that and all that kind of stuff. Think about the concept of a president being able to issue an executive order that contradicts your rights that are spelled out in the Bill of Rights. That means if he can do that, Ken, with the Second Amendment, he could do it with the First. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, right? I mean, if you can do it on one, you can do the others, right?
Well, I think he's at a point in his presidency that he doesn't...
he don't give a damn.
Yeah, why not? Why not test the waters on the so-called sacred grounds, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, if we let him get away with this, it's going to set the precedence for executive power for years to come. And that's why this thing needs to be stopped. Because believe it or not, we could get somebody worse than this guy. Now, I know that's hard to imagine, but we could get somebody. We could get like a Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You never know. We could get a socialist who admits he's a socialist, not just a socialist who thinks he's a Democrat. Which is Obama, because I'm convinced he's a socialist at the very least, if not a communist.
Well, I like the joke from Jay Leno when he subbed in for Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show.
Oh, I hadn't heard this one.
He said, Bernie Sanders. He said, if he's elected president, he'd be the first socialist elected president since 2008.
Pretty good. Oh, by the way, Ken, are you familiar with a TV series called Last Man Standing?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a Tim, what's his name? He used to be on Tool Time. Tim Taylor. Well, that was his name on Tool Time, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever. The basic thrust of the show is he's a conservative, and he's always just the jokes are always about Obama, Hillary, and all that kind of stuff. And I've been watching some of that stuff here lately, and some of that stuff's actually pretty darn funny. And I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. If you've not watched Last Man Standing, look for it on Netflix or on Amazon, that sort of thing. Pretty funny stuff in some cases. Okay. Real quick, before we go to break. You know, Biden... there's still word about Biden's going to run, Biden's not going to run. And honestly, I have no idea. But you know, something I found out the other day is that according to a Politico article that I have posted on RedstateTalkRadio.com, you know, the whole thing about that Biden's son's dying wish was that Biden run for president and all that kind of stuff. Remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who leaked that to the New York Times reporter?
Well, that story, Joe himself.
Doesn't that show you how crass these people are. You know, I mean, doesn't that kind of make you sick? I mean,
I don't even know what to say to that.
Well, I just think that's just to use your own son's death in order to plant the seed and to leak word that you might run for president. Isn't that like beyond the pale?
Yeah.
Is there nothing sacred to these people?
I don't think there is, Primo.
Yeah. I just thought I'd bring that up. I tell you what, let's go to break. This is the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni, my co-host, Ken Brown, and we will be back in just a few moments.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Cleveland.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now, 800-610-3497. 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get 2 bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs.
Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondani. I'm joined by my co-host, Ken Brown, who's in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in lovely Cleveland, Tennessee, broadcasting this show. Talk about Hillary. God almighty. What a mess. I cannot believe she's still, in a way, I can't believe she's still in the race and still, you know, still a viable candidate, which I'm not even sure she's a viable candidate anymore, but that's another story, I guess. Did you see this new ad that she put out where Hillary's like visibly angry and just went off on the Republicans over the Benghazi investigation because of the stupidity of Kevin McCarthy when he made those comments about the Benghazi committee, which was a gift to Hillary Clinton?
It was definitely a gift. It let her go on the offensive.
Well, some people say that's one of the reasons that he withdrew is that he felt like he couldn't win because he'd already kind of blew a big opportunity right there. But there's another thing. We didn't talk about this the first half of the show, but I'm going to bring this up. Have you heard the thing about why he really got out of the race? Let's do that real quick, and then we'll go back to Hillary.
I've heard affairs with another woman.
Yeah. That's kind of the rumor. And the thing is, it was put on a Wikipedia page, which, by the way, Wikipedia, you folks need to know that anytime you look up something on Wikipedia and you think that's an authoritative source, anybody can edit a Wikipedia page. I can edit it. I can put in whatever I want. It doesn't have to be the truth. I could lie like a dog. And so... when you look at a Wikipedia page, there could be some really good information in there. Just you got to realize that some of that stuff could be totally bogus. Well, anyway, someone put on a Wikipedia page about his alleged extramarital affairs, I guess we'll say, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or some people call it whoring around.
Just kind of plain speech, Primo.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Anyway, it was fooling around with apparently another congressman, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember right. And here's the thing. Someone checked the IP address of the person who put the information on there, and guess where it came from?
Where?
Someone in the Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, really?
So, makes you wonder... Did that make you wonder what the hell's going on?
It's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting, too. Department of Homeland Security, and they're editing a Wikipedia page saying that he's having an affair, blah, 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 blah. Now let your imagination go wild, I guess, at that point. Just, whatever.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, back to Hillary. Anyway, she had this really pretty, actually a pretty effective ad showing that basically it's a vast right-wing conspiracy against Hillary, and she's been having to deal with this her entire life, and blah, 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 blah. But let's move on from that. I just want to point out that she's got this, actually a pretty good ad, and it's all because this idiot McCarthy did what he did, and Trey Gowdy has had to sit there and try to not backpedal, because he didn't make the comments. But trying to prove that he's been doing everything on the up and up and trying to be as fair as possible. And I think that's true with Trey Gowdy. I just think that's the kind of guy he is. But here's another new news that hit this week about Hillary and her emails. Have you heard the one about this second IT company that backed up all of Hillary's email server data to the cloud, and Hillary Clinton's people didn't know about it until just now? This week,
how do they not know about that?
Hell if I know. But apparently these guys have... Now, they don't have everything because they recycle some stuff on the cloud. They, you know, they don't keep it forever. But I guess the last, I don't know how many months back or how many years back, whatever. But they do have stuff that was backed up to the cloud that no one, apparently no one knew about. And the thing was, is they were contracted by the Clintons, by Hillary Clinton and her staff to do this. And I guess somebody just forgot that they were going, that they were doing this. That's crazy, isn't it?
It's lovely. That's what it is.
I mean, you literally can't make this stuff up, right? I mean, anyway, they've given it to the FBI. So not only has the FBI gotten a hold of the real server and gotten a bunch of stuff off of it, apparently, you know, thousands of emails, now they have this cloud backup. And the good thing is that here's the thing about the cloud backup. Even if it doesn't have everything, let's just say it only has half of stuff. Just toss down a number. In case there's some errors or some holes with the data that are recovered, because sometimes when you do data recovery, you don't get everything, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to compare that with what they do have in the cloud backup, which should be a complete history of the emails that it has, at least those emails. And that could, oh, and what, Trey got to get his hands on that? Good Lord. You know?
That's why I would rather not. See, I think Hillary's going to, may show up for this 22nd.
Yeah, I think it's 22nd, 23rd, something like that. Yeah.
I think she'll show up for that because I think she's, it's going to give her a platform. She thinks it'll give her a platform to go, oh, you're, this is a witch hunt, you know.
Yeah.
Your you know, majority leader has said so, you know, and but if Trey Gowdy has information that's just overwhelming, then I say bring it on. But I hope he does.
Yeah, I think Hillary Clinton, everybody thinks that she's just like the smartest woman in the room and all this kind of stuff, and I think you give her way too much credit. And the truth is, if she gets in front of Trey Gowdy, Trey Gowdy is going to eat her lunch.
I just don't think she's not Bill Clinton. She has no, when she gets her cage rattled, she says stuff. And yeah, when she says stuff, it hurts her.
Yeah, and I think Trey Gowdy will piss her off so bad she'll just lose it.
Yeah.
Because he'll sit there with the facts and going, is it not true that blank and blank and blank and blank and blank?
Yeah.
And she's going to explode at some point. I don't think she could take it. Bill Clinton would sit there and smile and slick as an eel, you know? Yeah. And he would skate and he would maneuver and he would dodge and he would deflect. And Hillary Clinton does not have that same set of skills. She just doesn't.
You know, that's one of the things that October brings that I'm really looking forward to.
Well, I tell you what, the next 2 or 3 weeks are going to be critical to her campaign because she's got this debate coming up on Tuesday. She's got the Benghazi thing. And by the way, before the Benghazi thing, guess who's going to show up at the Benghazi subcommittee about a week before, I think, if I'm not mistaken. A few days before, a week before, is Huma Abedin, her right-hand girl.
Oh, yeah.
She's scheduled to appear. So the debate. Oh, by the way, on the debate, she's lost over 10 points of support in the latest poll. And this is the most recent poll coming up to the debate. So she's, things were already looking bad, but she lost another 10 points in like the last week.
I just don't. People don't trust her. And it's not just the Republican people; it's her own party don't trust her. They want somebody else. Look at Bernie Sanders. I mean, Bernie Sanders is a socialist, self-proclaimed socialist.
Yeah,
and
he has huge crowds. Yeah, he's beating her in Iowa and New Hampshire both.
Yeah, I mean, does that not tell you something?
It scares the hell out of me to think that a socialist could even be even a consideration for any party.
I think they'd be much better off with Biden. Even he's Mr. Gaff City. but he would be, he's much more likable. And I think that's part of the, of his, you know, his, I don't want to say mystique, but part of his personality that he just, that people like him no matter what he says. They're better off with him.
But you know, the thing is about Bernie Sanders, thinking about this though, I think that the Democrat Party has moved so far to the left that Bernie Sanders is actually speaking for the majority of the Democrat Party at this point.
You think so? You really think the majority feels that way?
I'm starting to.
I don't. God, I hate to think that. I hate to think that half the majority of Democrats thinks they're socialists.
Well, how do you explain how he's dealing with his numbers?
I think it's all because they don't like Hillary.
Well,
period.
I mean, maybe. That's one thing for sure. But here's the thing, though. If that's true, why are not more people flocking to O'Malley and Chafee and Jim Webb?
Just because Bernie Sanders is more of a name. He's actually a senator.
Well, perhaps so. But you know what? I'd be willing to bet you that before this campaign started, I don't think most people knew who Bernie Sanders was.
Well, I think enough people know who he is to give money. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, now, one thing about Bernie Sanders, by the way, he's doing well money-wise, is he's getting a lot of small donations, whereas Hillary's getting all the big bucks kind of thing. But he actually, they were like almost neck and neck in this last reporting period. I forget what the amount was. I don't even know the number. I'm not even going to throw a number out there. But it was whatever millions of dollars that was raised, they were like almost exactly the same. It was a really close race in terms of who generated the most money. But Bernie Sanders got it mostly all small donations. He did not – he got very few big corporate donations sort of things. So see, but that's what I'm kind of getting at is that shows me grassroots support. And that shows me that maybe that the party has leaned so far to the left it is really a socialist party at this point.
I would hate to think that, but
I would too, but I'm just saying I'm starting to wonder.
I don't know. Gosh, that would be awful. That's the case. But yeah. I don't think that right now. I don't. But I think those people make the most noise. But it's like conservatives. Conservatives, this country is much more conservative, and the Republican Party is much more conservative than what we let on, and the people across the country, and that we're just quiet. You know,
we're always at work trying to make a living.
That's what I mean. We're quiet. We don't voice our opinions much, and at least not the vast majority.
Yeah.
But I think we talk with our votes, or we talk with not going to the polls. That's the way we talk. You know, if it's some, we don't like somebody like Romney or whatever, we don't go. And you know, McCain, we don't go. You don't excite us. We're thinking it's the same old, same old. We won't go out the door and head to the polls and to cast a vote for somebody we don't like.
That's true. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but if conservatives went to the polls like they should have, Romney would have won easily.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They literally just stayed at home because they didn't think Romney was conservative enough. And these people who don't understand that, who keep thinking we need to have we need to be more moderate. We need to be more like the Democrats. We need to be this. We need to be that. I'm thinking, hell, do you not even pay attention to what's been going on?
Well, that's and that's what's happening. Look at Boehner. I think Mitch McConnell is. I think he's next in line. I think people
I love to see McConnell gone.
Me too. Me too. You talking about somebody who gives in? There you go. I mean, when you stand up there and say we're gonna pull out Obamacare at its roots, I have yet to see that, Mr. McConnell. You have not done any of that.
No, he's not. He hasn't done anything. He's promised or claimed. He's a joke as far as I'm concerned. And the fact, and you know, Rand Paul supporting him like he does, and we talked about this before, that basically because McConnell supported him way back in the day, when you're first getting started. He feels like he owes him and stuff. And
Look at Rand Paul. Look at where Rand Paul is.
Oh, he's, well, like Trump says, you know, what's he even doing on the stage? He's only at 1% or whatever.
Yeah, and it's true.
Yeah.
Even though that wasn't the best way to handle that, that's just Donald Trump. It's true. And if you're a Mitch McConnell supporter, you're part of the problem, Mr. Paul. You are. Even though I like Rand Paul in a lot of ways.
Yeah, some stuff I'm fine with. Like we've always said, he's not as crazy as his daddy. He's a little crazy on a few things, but he's not as crazy as his daddy. Be hard to get crazier than Ron Paul, I think.
Yeah.
Ron Paul is kind of the Bernie Sanders of the Republican Party, I think, in a way.
Yes, he is.
He's just a little too far one way or the other, you know. Okay, let's talk about this Hillary Clinton. Let's talk about this trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership thing. You know, the entire time she was Secretary of State, she was pushing for this thing. And now that she's running for president, guess what? She opposes the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which she helped to not only present to the world, but negotiate, and was like one of their best salesmen for it.
So why is she against it now?
Because of politics.
No.
Well, I know that's hard to believe that Hillary Clinton would do anything political. I know that's a tough sell. But this just goes to show you, this woman will do anything for power. This woman will do anything to get elected. It's kind of like John Kerry. I voted for it before I was against it, or whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of the same sort of thing. So I voted for the partnership, but now I'm against it because I want the union vote.
Yeah. Well, her email stuff. I mean, just it took her a long time to even say that. Well, it probably wasn't the best decision to make. If I had to go back and do it again, I wouldn't have done that. I had my own server, that kind of thing. And I'm like, what? Are you nuts, lady? You broke the law, and you knew you were breaking the law.
Right.
And nobody trusts you. And your own party doesn't trust you. Your own party wants somebody else.
Yeah, I don't... She's just so obsessed with power, and she's willing to do and say anything to get elected. I think it's as simple as that.
I think, and I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, she is the best ammunition to getting a new president, a Republican president, in 2016. She is the best. The best we have to offer is if Hillary stays in the race. If she stays in the race, we win. I just, you know, whoever's in that right spot when it comes time, you know, the one-on-one, if Hillary's the Democrat, whoever that person is for the Republican who's the nominee, wins. If she drops out, it's we're back to square one.
Well, real quick, if she drops out, I mean, you think Sanders would be the beneficiary, nope. But in a way, it would probably be somebody like a Biden or O'Malley, I would think, because a lot of the people who are supporting Hillary would not support Sanders.
No. Biden may get it. It may be Kerry. You know, I'm thinking Kerry. Somebody that's, you know, that's got some kind of name from the past that's a pull.
Kerry's real upset, you know that apparently he's not going to win the Nobel Peace Prize. He's all tore up about it.
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah, I just thought that in there.
that guy, talk about flip floppers. I mean,
he is so bad. He's, I'm telling you what, he's dumb as a rock. What is it about these progressive liberals? And everybody thinks they're so smart and so suave and so sophisticated. And they're just dumb as hell.
Well, look. You know, he's one of the Iran deal. He was, you know, spearheading this. And guess what I just found out on the news this morning? That Iran's testing long-range missiles.
I know.
I'm like, this is off the heels, right off the heels of this supposedly historic deal with Iran, according to Obama and Kerry. And they're testing long-range missiles that can hit Israel right now.
Yeah.
come on, Primo. I mean, they are counting on – Hillary's counting on – the Democratic Party's counting on the idiots that go out and vote just because the known, they don't know any, have any information of what's going on. They're going to vote for the Democratic Party. That's what they're counting on. They're counting on the trolls of fools out there.
Oh, by the way, while we're talking about it, you were talking about – we kind of alluded to it a little bit. Have you noticed some of the stuff that's been happening in Syria because of the Russian intervention and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
First of all, there was supposedly a Russian somehow challenged an American drone or something like that.
Yeah.
I think they shot it, whatever. The thing is, at some point, you're going to have a Russian MiG-23 up against a U.S. Air Force or U.S. Navy F-18 or something like that. I mean, you could have a real damn mess on your hands. That's number one. Number two, did you hear about where they supposedly, this has not been confirmed by the Russians, but this is what Turkey says. A Russian MiG-23 violated Turkish airspace, and they say they shot it down. Now, that just happened. I saw that last night.
Who said they shot it down?
Turkey. Turkey said they shot down a Russian M-23 that went into their airspace. And the Russians have not confirmed it. Of course, the Russians may never confirm it.
Of course.
But it's just the way they operate. But Turkey says this happened. And, of course, Turkey is supposedly our ally, which they're not really a very good ally here lately. But, I mean, you talk about a convoluted mess in Libya Syria and oh, by the way, the Russians have been doing some bombing campaigns in Syria. Now, they say they're going after ISIS, and we know that they're really not. But have you seen the video of the bombing campaigns they've been doing?
No.
Ken, they're not doing smart bombs. Like the United States uses precision guided missiles, and we use like a scalpel.
Yeah.
Russians just drop the hell, I mean, just drop everything but the damn kitchen sink. And they're dumb bombs. And they just obliterate everything in their path.
So, screw the people that are innocent.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what you'd expect of the Russians. And I'm thinking, you know what? If we'd have been doing that, if the United States had been doing that to ISIS, anytime ISIS is in the area, and we just carpet bomb the damn thing, these guys, they'd already be gone.
Mm-hmm.
At least, I mean, for the most part, a lot of them would be gone. Of course, we'd be taking out a lot of the people with them. But you know what? War's hell.
We've got a president that's a weakling, and Putin's just taking over. He's not standing up for himself now. He should have had a no-fly zone over Syria. He didn't do it. Too late now, I think, to try that stuff. And I don't think he'd do it if he could do it.
Well, you know, the thing is that the Russians have been basically out of the picture in the Middle East for the last 25 years. Now, all of a sudden, boom, they're in charge of the Middle East.
Yeah, and look
because of the president we have.
And look at Romney, how, you know, everything he said about Putin was right.
Oh, yeah.
Democratic.
Yeah.
I mean, the debate.
We're out of time. We've actually been out of time for a couple minutes.
Oh.
Okay. So, I'll try to fix that on the post-edit. You want to take us out, Ken?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on Earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. Thanks for being with us. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.